So many Christians focus on the cross. There's certain religious institutions that promote cross, Jesus hanging on the cross. But may I say that is only half the story. He is not on the cross. He's resurrected. I'll say that again. He's resurrected. He's not on a cross. He's resurrected. And if I only ever concentrate on the cross, I will only have half the story. Hallelujah. In fact, without the resurrection, the cross is impotent. Unless the Savior rose again, my faith is in vain. And so is yours. The Father called forth the Son out of the grave. Another book, it says the Spirit called him forth. The same Spirit that raised Romans. Same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you. I think it's in Titus or something like that. It says, and the glory of the Lord lifted him up. We have to concentrate on the resurrected Christ. Amen. So, please forgive me this morning if I have a few scriptures. I love my Bible, and I believe it's the truth, the unadulterated truth of the Word of God. And it's the thing that makes me free. Amen. Only the Word establishes the truth. So we're going to share Word this morning. So please bear with me. And I pray iron sharpens iron this morning, and you get a bit sharp in the spirit. You might hear things you might never have heard. That is okay. Go home, chew on it, eat it. What you don't like, you can't digest, spit it out. And then maybe regurgitate it later. Amen. Turn with me to 1 John 3 and 2. Before we start, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the power of your word this morning. We come here not because we want to just come here. We come here, Lord, to celebrate the resurrected Christ this morning. We want to give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. We say, Holy Spirit, watch over your word this morning. Anoint my lips to speak what you want me to speak. God, bring into my remembrance the things you want me to remember, that, Father, I can impart into your people that which you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John 3 and 2 says, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we will know when he is revealed, for we shall be what? Like him. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, 42 to 54. See also the resurrection of the dead, the body is sown in what? We have a corruptible body right now. It is raised in what? Incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It will be raised a what? A spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And afterwards, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of the dust. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. There's a word missing there. The first man was made. Jesus was not made. He is. Because he is God Almighty. Amen. Yeah. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural first. The first man of the earth, made of the dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of the dust, so also those who are made of the dust. As is the heavenly man, also are those who are what? Next one, please. And as we have borne the image of the man of the dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. You will bear a fresh image. You will be given a new image. You will have an earthly body, but you will be given a spiritual body. Can I hear an amen? Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Say it with me, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, it's impossible for this body to inherit the kingdom. Amen. But behold, I tell you a mystery, we'll not all sleep, but we shall all be, changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. That's a sermon all by itself. It's not the first trumpet. It's the last trumpet. The last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality. So then when the corruptible has put on incorruption, the mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What is swallowed up? Death is swallowed up in victory. 55, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I have an amen. There's going to be a change. There's going to be something happening. And the reason why you're saying, what's you're saying all this about for Easter Sunday? Jesus experienced that change. Jesus experienced that change. His body was not corrupt. The only corruptible part of his body was it was getting old. It was not in sin, but it did have to die. His body experienced pain. His body experienced grief. His body experienced suffering. His body experienced everything that a human body would experience, except for one thing, without sin. He had to come as man to show us that you can live without sin. Amen? So resurrection, something happened on resurrection that day. He was put in a tomb. His body was marred, it was beaten, it was bruised, it was marked, it was bloody. Isaiah says his face was it was uncomely. It was just so messed up. They buried him. They put him in a tomb. They sealed the tomb. On the third day, something happened. Something magnificent happened on that day. Turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I've read from verse 14. Now when she had said, this is Mary Magdalene. When she had said, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. She didn't know that it was Jesus. She didn't recognize Jesus. She knew Jesus. She lived with Jesus. She walked with Jesus. Not literally lived, but lived with him in his journey. She walked with Jesus. She understood Jesus. Yet she couldn't recognize Jesus. In fact, she thought he was the gardener. Something had changed. Something had changed. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. Mary. She turned to him and said, Rabboni, teacher. She recognized the voice. She didn't recognize the face. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father, your Father, and my God, and to your God. There was an exchange about to happen that she was not a part of the invitation. There was something about to occur. She didn't want him, he didn't want her to cling to him as he was. Because there was something yet unfinished what he had to do. He had finished everything that was required of him on earth. Yet there was something unfinished in heaven. That's why he says, don't cling to me. Don't cling to my cross experience. Don't cling to what you knew me as on the cross. You can touch me and cling to me after I've fulfilled something that I need to do in heaven. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples, that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. There is a time change. In the time of the evening, Jesus came to them. Where did he go? He told her where he was going. What did he do in heaven that needed to be done by the one who died, that had to die, to bring forth another testator or a new testament? Something had to occur in heaven before that was ratified and before we could be what we could be, called the sons and daughters of God. Something had to occur. Next one, please. Jesus, all man, but still all God, who came in his human, I call it a suit, his flesh, whose flesh suffered, bruised and bled and died, rose in a resurrected celestial body, a body that is different to yours and mine. Totally different. Unrecognizable naturally, but known spiritually. Are you with me? This mortal had to put on immortality. This corruptible had to put on incorruption. Sin and death had to be swallowed up. Jesus tells Mary Magdalene, don't cling to me, not because he didn't love her, but because his work was yet incomplete. His work was finished on earth. He said it on the cross. It is what? Finished. But there was something that had to occur in the heavens for it to complete and ratify and bring the propitiation into being. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Are you following me? I don't want to lose you. He didn't want her to embrace some of him. That's why he says, don't touch me yet. She had to come to a place to embrace all of him. Not just the cross, Jesus, but the resurrected Jesus. His work on earth was finished, yet it was unfinished in heaven. Jesus said, I have ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Jesus went somewhere. He went to heaven. In the midst of the twinkling of an eye, his body can transform or translate so quickly. This body could walk through doors. This body wasn't a human body. He could be in the midst of his brethren and the door was closed, the Bible says. And he walked straight in. He was in the midst of the crowd and he walked straight in. Yet he was body enough to have fish. And he was body enough to eat. Yet he was spirit enough to walk through a door. He was a man of a different spirit. He had a different body. Amen. And they couldn't recognize him. When he made breakfast for the disciples, they recognized the voice, but they didn't recognize the man. They swam to him. Flesh enough to make breakfast and eat with him. This body wore marks upon it. The nail prints and the cut in his side and the nails in his feet were still there. A testimony. It was his testimony of what he had done. It was the body still bore a testimony. The marks of the testimony were still on his body. Whether I'm in my new body, my new body should still bear marks of a testimony. Thomas said this, unless I thrust my hand in his side, I will know by no means what. So he didn't care what was said. He wanted to see a testimony that it was him. Come on now. The world doesn't want to just hear a sermon. They want to see Christian bear the mark of their testimony. My forgiveness, the grace, the mercy, the love. Bearing marks of the testimony. When I'm loving the unlovely and I'm not getting love back. When I'm bringing peace to the situation when they're still unpeaceful. When I'm bringing love into a hating situation, bearing the marks of my testimony that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus was sharing and showing the marks of the testimony. Yet something had to happen. something still had to occur to ratify what he had done on earth. Where's my book? Next one, please. Hebrews 9, 23 and 28. This is where he went. This is what happened to him. According to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. The old temple was set up where there was a constant flow of the blood of animals to cover sin. It couldn't deal with sin. It could only cover sin. It could only ever cover sin. That's why there had to be a continuous flow of blood. Amen. In fact, when they dedicated Solomon's temple, it said the blood was so running that it was up to ankle deep in the temple. I mean, I'm talking about myriads of animals slaughtered. Myriads of them. So if you're a vegan, watch out. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies, what were they? The copies of the things in heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Heaven couldn't be pacified, or heaven couldn't contain what the animals could do. They needed a better sacrifice than animals. The sanctuary, the temple of earth was a copy of that which was in heaven. Amen. Moses got the blueprint from God Almighty himself upon the mountain. And God showed him what to build. But he showed him what was already in heaven. Amen. For Christ did not enter the holy places made with hands, the natural tabernacle, which are the copies of the true tabernacle, but into heaven himself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He entered heaven himself. Something had to be placed upon the mercy seat of the natural temple every year by the high priest. Jesus, your high priest, had to get to heaven. He had to get to heaven. Don't touch me. I'm on a mission to fulfill the requirement of heaven. I've got to get to the temple of heaven, to the ark of the covenant, to the mercy seat of God himself, because it required something. It required the blood. So Jesus enters in. The Father saw the sacrifice of his sacrificial lamb. He saw him die upon the earth. He accepted that. And all of a sudden, now there was something else that needed heaven needed, which was the blood of the lamb. Jesus enters the very courts of heaven with the blood of the lamb, places it upon the mercy seat. And once that blood touched the heavenly mercy seat, the new covenant was ratified. New things were done in heaven. All of a sudden, the sin is gone. All of a sudden, Jesus stands in the gap between him and the Father. All of a sudden, he's now the mediator between God and man. All of a sudden, now he's my high priest. He went to heaven to deliver some blood. He placed it on the mercy seat, and it appeased the Father. And no other sacrifice had to be made again. He doesn't have to be crucified again. He doesn't have to be killed again. He's done it once and for all. Hallelujah. That's what he did. And that's why he told Mary, don't touch me yet. The minute he had done that, he came back to earth. This new body can travel quick. He meets people on the Emmaus Road. Peter was one of them. They were told to stay in Jerusalem. But, you know, when all your hopes on a man to raise an army in the natural and it doesn't happen, and everyone's against you, and everyone thinks everything's going to happen, and nothing's going to happen, God's let me down, he went on a journey. Jesus meets them, shows them scriptures, declares to them, rebukes them for their lack of faith. Rebukes them. But something was happening in their heart. Something was happening in their heart. They weren't going to stop for the night, stop at an inn. He would have carried on. But they persuaded him to stay. Something was being provoked and something was being stirred in their spirit. He broke bread with them. Then they saw the emblems of his testimony on his hands. And immediately he was gone. It says this, and then they returned back to Jerusalem. You see, when you hear a true word of the Lord and you're walking away from where you should be, and when you see the testimony of those around you standing strong in your day, it will cause a turnaround in your spirit. And you will go back to where He expects you to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your God will provoke you. It says in John that in that evening He came. They were in a place that the door was shut. He entered the room. Shavum. He's in the midst of them. Thomas, being Thomas, you know what Thomas means, don't you? Delta. Thomas means twin. So one twin is doubting Thomas, but there's another twin. Sometimes we're the other Thomas. You'll get it later. Unless I thrust my hands in his side and touch his hands. Jesus now, instead of saying, can't touch me, because he's now ratified the New Testament by his blood on the mercy seat, now you can touch me. Thrust your hands in his side. And he did. And all of a sudden he said, my Lord and my God. Amen. He reveals the marks of his testimony by breaking bread. Next one, please. I'll go back to that one. In Acts 1 and 3, to whom he presented himself alive after suffering of many infallible proofs, being seen by them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He revealed himself in the book of Acts. He reveals himself again. 40 days with them, raising the dead as he was raised. Here's a man of the Spirit. Please hear me this morning. Jesus, when he went to that room in the upper room in Pentecost, he never once mentioned their failings. He never said to Peter, I saw you run away. He never said to the other 11, why were you so far away? See, a man of the Spirit doesn't bring up the past. He spoke to their future. Man of the Spirit speaks future. Will not hang on to the past. Refuses to hold on to the past. Speaks future. What is coming out of my mouth? Am I bringing up the past over and over and over and over again? Am I allowing the resurrected power of Christ that is dwelling within me? For the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead, Romans 8 tells me, dwells where? Dwells in you. You and I have the capacity to walk as He walked on this earth. Knowing I have an eternal intercessor standing in the gap with my Father as the high priest, forever making intercession, my Bible says in Hebrews, making intercession on my behalf. And He bears witness, because in Romans the Bible also says this, and the Spirit also makes intercession on your behalf. Because out of the mouth of two or three, let every word be. So the Spirit and Christ are forever making intercession for you before the Father. Hallelujah. Isn't he a good God? Next one, please. Luke 24, 36 to 39. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus didn't say this just once. You will read it in Luke, you will read it in Matthew, you will read it in John, you will read it in Acts, where when he meets the brethren, the first thing he says to them is this, "Peace be with you." And then it also says in John, "Peace be upon you." Does my presence bring a peace? You have the power and I have the power. If you're born again here this morning, you have the power and I have the power to release peace in my situation. "Peace be with you." And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do you doubt? Does doubts rise in your mind? Look, my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Touch me and see." Mary Magdalene couldn't yet touch him until he put the blood on the mercy seat. Now there's an invite, "Touch me and see." Do you know the invite's still there today? Come on. "Touch me and see." See what? "See that I am good. See that I am good. See that I am good." Hallelujah. A ghost does not have flesh and what? Notice it doesn't say blood. It says bones. Because where was the blood? On the mercy seat. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But this was flesh and bone. Because the blood was already on the mercy seat. And I'm going to give you a little thought tickler. When God made the woman for the man couldn't make a thing. It's too dumb. When God made the woman, and he said to the man, and the Bible says that he loved her. He didn't have nothing to compare her to. He didn't have another specimen to look at. He loved her. And his love was based on one thing. She's bone of my and flesh of my, didn't mention blood, spirit. Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. But this new body will. Because the blood, his blood, was on the mercy seat of God Almighty. Amen. Your father, my father, your Jesus, my Jesus, did the greatest thing humanity could ever experience. The Father rose him from the dead. Just like the Father rose you from the dead. Jesus then went and placed his blood upon a mercy seat of heaven to ratify the whole situation. So when the Father looks to you, he sees the blood once and for all. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Father, Father, Father. You might be here this morning, you don't know Jesus. I I want to tell you this, Jesus of the Bible paid the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. Not because he had to, because he wanted to, because he loves you. And you might be here saying, well, why would he love me? Well, I think that's a question all of us sometimes should ask ourselves. He loves you because he loves you, and there's no other reason. All I have to do is accept the love. And his blood has dealt with sin. And he won't resuscitate you and try and make the old you into a new you. He'll resurrect you. He'll make you brand new, born again. Not of the natural man, but of the spirit. The resurrection Sunday is far more than hot cross buns. It's the greatest gift and miracle humanity has ever received. Hallelujah. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. Lord, help us to bear our marks of your testimony in our life. Help me. Help me to produce the fruit of your spirit in my situations. I cannot do it without you. I need you. Help me to accept the love that is so great, that is so wide, that is so deep, that is so high, of your love and grace toward me. Help me to receive you as my King and my Lord and my Savior this morning. This resurrection Sunday, let it be my resurrection from this day. If you don't know Jesus, he wants to know you. He came down to meet with them. He's here this morning to meet with you, to give you the opportunity, the greatest opportunity humanity could ever get, which is Jesus. If you would like to know this Jesus, you just lift up your hand right now. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You want to know this Jesus that paid the ultimate price, and not just paid the ultimate price, but gained absolute freedom and joy and peace for you and I. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you're lacking peace in your soul, if you're lacking peace in your soul, you just lift up your hands before the Lord right now. He wants to minister to you. He doesn't want you to go away restless. Father, you see those hands raised this morning. Father, I just uplift them before you, and I thank you right now for your touch, your touch. And Father, I speak to their soul. I say, peace be still. Peace be still in Jesus' name. Calm their storm, Father. Bring into perspective their situation according to how you see it. I release that anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage in Jesus' name. And I decree and declare, whom you've set free is free indeed. And I thank you, Lord, right now that, Father, there's an exchange happening in their soul. Lord, as they let go and give it to you, Father, you will replace that with your peace in Jesus' name. Thank you right now for your touch in the mighty name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you so much for bearing with me for that length of period of time. But I don't really believe a lot of Christians understand what he done after he died. People just say, well, he just hung around and did, and they just sorted it. No. There was a requirement of heaven in the tabernacle of God. It had to receive the blood. Amen. And the high priest himself took it for you and I. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. God bless you.